Business Radio with Dr. Leslie, where you move from victim of your history to author of your destiny. Welcome, friends. This is Dr. Leslie Wells here, your host today and every week on Faith Consciousness Radio, reminding you that you can move out of life happening to you to life happening through you. What does that mean? That means as you begin to understand the understandings of faith consciousness, when you begin to understand who, how, and what you are in relationship to this reality that we call life, that we call planet Earth, that we call moment-to-moment experience in your family, with your business, with whatever you're doing in life, you can begin to understand how to take the steering wheel into your own hands. That's what's possible. And we are in the era, the third era of human consciousness evolution. This is the era where we will be morphing into our ultimate destiny. We were destined, friends, from the beginning of time. Humanity was destined to move to this state of grace where we would eventually move into the role as a soul, as divine creators on planet Earth. We move through the stages. Remember, level one is polarity consciousness, where we feel like life is coming at us. Life feels like we don't have any say about what happens, and it's happening to you, okay? As we elevate, we can move into that next level that we call Christ consciousness. This is where we begin to understand that there's a higher plan. We begin to release some of the suffering that we had in that lower stage. We begin to have a state of trust, a state of forgiveness and grace. We start to realize what it feels like to move into a bit of flow with life, and we access a level of consciousness that says, life happens for me. I know there's a higher plan. I don't feel like I have a lot of say about it, but I'm getting there, and I'm engaging with God as my guide to help me make more sense out of what's happening here. And then level three, which started in 2012. Level three is the era of faith consciousness, but it's the frequency range, the third level, when you move to that vibrational state that's a match with faith consciousness. You begin to line up with synchronicities in your life. You begin to notice that life is flowing, and what you need and even what your heart's desires are begin to show up before you even realize, this is what I need next. This is what I want next. It shows up and you go, oh my gosh, that's so perfect. I hadn't even thought of that yet, okay? And today we're going down that path. We're going to go down the rabbit hole of what is synchronicity. Why is synchronicity in our lives a little or a lot or none at all or all the time? So I'm going to help you understand what that is, who even formulated that term synchronicity, and we're going to look at where synchronicity show up in scriptures. Okay, what's been in those stories from the ancient scriptures telling us and showing us how signs show up when we are aligned, how we can get indicators that connect the dots between what's going on inside of us with our consciousness and with our connection to God, to the divine, to the invisible world that faith bridges us to, and what's showing up in the outer world, tangibly, physically. We're going to see where those connections come into play and how you can begin to line up with that feeling of magic and miracles happening, synchronicities coming every day. So today, as we begin this conversation, I'm bringing on a special guest today. We've had Horace Bush on a number of times in the past. We had a special event honoring him and assisting with his own needs last year. And Horace is an advanced soul that's bringing a lot of awareness and wisdom to the conversation. I felt led synchronistically to contact Horace right before today's show. And yes, he was available, and we're bringing him on now. Hi, Horace. Welcome, and thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Dr. Leslie. How are you?
I'm awesome. Better and better. Thank you. So today, Horace, I've told the listeners that we're going to be diving into a conversation about synchronicity. Now, in this segment, because we're going to have to take a commercial break in just a few minutes, but I want to at least introduce what we're going to be diving into as we go deeper into the show. And I want to let them know that you and I just had a synchronistic event happen right before the show. So I'll tell them, friends, so I was on the phone with Horace. We were getting ready, you know, just prepping to launch the show. And I said to him, you know, I've come to learn that the man that coined the term synchronicity is Carl Jung. And he said to me, what did you say, Horace?
I said, wow. I said, I've actually been reading and watching quite a few videos on YouTube about Carl Jung over the past 2 weeks.
So your own life. And so, friends, this is how it works. Because I had decided that today's show and been guided, really, that today's show would be on synchronicity. I did a little research. I learned for the first time that Carl Jung created that term and did some research about him and even his conversations with Albert Einstein about these things. And then it was like, huh, I think I'm going to call Horace Bush and see if he might be free. And bang, who's been studying Carl Jung's work for the last 2 weeks? Hello. This is synchronicity in action. This is what it looks like, friends. So tell us for a moment, and we've only got a minute here, what's the overview of what you've been getting out of your diving down the rabbit hole of Carl Jung?
Well, you know, this is not the first time. I mean, I was actually a psychology major in college and one of many things I've studied. And we studied about Carl Jung. And just trying to give you some highlights here. We talked about a lot of his basic things about anima and animus, which is about exploring the shadow self and all of that. But we didn't really go deeper into him. I've been finding out some things I didn't know when I was in college, like synchronicity, number one. And also, he was really big. I didn't realize this. A lot of the people that he studied, he specifically wanted to study people and their spiritual path. And what was the common denominator with that? I didn't realize that part of it. So that's interesting because compared to a lot of the other psychologists that I had to study, I didn't realize Carl Jung specifically studied people who are on their spiritual journey and what made that so.
That's awesome. Horace, I'm going to have to interrupt for just a moment. We're taking a commercial break. Friends, stay tuned. We're going to come right back and dive deeper into synchronicities. Radio with Dr. Leslie, and we have Horace Bush today talking about synchronicity. You can align with them and have it show up in your world. So, Horace, I notice that when synchronicities are happening in my life, I tend to feel like I'm on some kind of magic carpet ride. It's like God winks happening through the day. And for me, in the last couple days, it's been repeated numbers. Like constantly, I'll pick up my phone, it says 11-11, 12-12, 3-3-3, 2-2-2. You know, if I didn't know better, I it would feel almost spooky. But because of what I know, it feels like, yay!
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Louise Hay, you know, who passed away a couple of years ago, she was really big. She actually wrote a book about angel numbers. Uh-huh. I don't remember the exact title, but she wrote a book about that. And she even said there's a lot of meaning to those numbers like that. It's a kind of a way of God just saying hello, letting us know that that God is, you know, there. And I've been getting those same numbers too, 1111. Even this morning, I got 555 and 444.
There you go. You were up at 444. Hello.
Yeah, I'm usually am at that time, so I'm usually able to get my prayer and meditation time in.
Awesome. So, Horace, we were talking a little bit about Carl Jung, okay? And so, just listeners, as a reminder, Carl Jung is the person who actually coined the term synchronicity originally. Mm-hmm. So that's who introduced that word to our dictionary to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been looking at some of his work over the last couple of weeks?
Yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, one of the things he's really big on is about each person really taking the time to focus on preserving or evolving, I guess you could say, as well, yourself. And what is that to you? And when we do that, we can maintain our peace.
Right.
And even if it means at times, he talks a lot about being silent, taking time to be silent. You don't have to talk all the time. Just taking time, because it is through the silence that we're able to really get to know ourselves better. And he talks a lot about that.
Isn't that the truth? And, you know, the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. So I'll say in silence, we get to know God better and we get to know ourselves better. And ultimately, we will get to know the direct link between those two things, between God from which we come and ourselves, because ultimately, friends, we're going to awaken to seeing how we are an extension of God itself. God breathed that breath of life into that physical body. That life of the human breath of your own life came straight from the breath, so to speak, of God. We are an extension of that. And as we evolve in our consciousness, as we move into that stillness and begin to realize, we open up our real eyes and become aware that God is within me and begin to allow that consciousness to flow through us more and more. And as we move into that, we will notice these synchronistic events happening on a regular basis. So I wanted to put in here real quick about Carl Jung. And friends, Carl Jung was a psychologist. He was really a master of breaking through into new understandings of human psychology and kind of bridging that in new ways to science and to spirituality or religion, our relationship to the invisible and the divine. What do you say there, Horace?
Oh, absolutely. And he was actually one of a few of the psychologists back in the day that actually focused on the spiritual journey. And he wanted to know more objectively, I guess you could say, what were the common denominators of that. And so he talked a lot about if we want to, in fact, there's a specific video where he talks about if you want to evolve on the spiritual journey, it's not about getting more things. He says a lot of times, you know, in our society, we think being on a spiritual journey, we have to get all these things, whatever they are, to each of us. He says, no, it's about recognizing what we need to release, because our identity is not static, it's fluid. And what we identify now may not be what's really going on. What we need to do is look at what we need to release. You know, release these old patterns that keep us stuck. And so then we can evolve our identity based on the moment. And he focuses a lot about that, on being in the moment and not stuck in the past or in the future for that matter.
Well, here's another synchronicity right here and now. So I'm hearing Horace say that for the first time. And just yesterday, I had a conversation with a client of mine, and I was explaining how the work we were doing with her body mind, okay, the healing spinal energetics work that I do, was causing her nervous system to go into stored tension patterns, which are from the past, okay? This is like layers of stored tension that holds energy and information from perceived trauma, layer upon layer. So over time, we work with recent tension patterns that have been stored in the body. And then as we go deeper, we end up connecting with and releasing stored energy and information from events from our childhood. And I said, it's like cleaning out the closet, you know, and sometimes it can look worse before it looks better as you start sifting through everything. And she said, that's funny, I'm cleaning out my closet right now. Okay, so there's that synchronicity. And here you are sharing with me today about Carl Jung saying it's about releasing what's not current, right? So that we're not being dragged down by our past or some outdated version of what we're looking at to reflect ourselves, when actually we've outgrown that. We've matured, we've advanced, and those things no longer apply. Do you think relationships are like that sometimes?
Oh, definitely. In fact, relationships, and it's funny because he mentions that too, they are mirrors of our internal struggle a lot of times. It's just an outpicturing of what's happening. So whatever that the dynamics are that's going on in a particular relationship, we just need to look within. Okay, how is that struggle manifesting in my life on an eternal basis? And that's the reason why he keeps focusing over and over again about taking the time to sit, be quiet, breathe, and then we can see, because, you know, he talks a lot about the shadow, and that shadow becomes a mirror in our relationships if we're not looking at it.
Oh, okay. So if we don't find and deal with what's within us, it's going to show up in our external world for us to deal with.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh. Oh, that means I've got some... Thank you. That introduces me to something that says I need to do some self-examination regarding my divorce that I have just walked through. So, and some of the listeners know that I've walked through a difficult number of years here with the unexpected end of my marriage, and thank you very much. I'm going to be, and I'll, you know what, listeners, I'll be transparent. I'm going to share it with you. Let's be open about my own journey as I'm walking the talk and moving through these things that we're talking about. I'll be happy to share with you what's coming up so that you can see what this looks like applied. Now, we're going to take another break in just a moment, and we'll be back shortly to go deeper into this conversation. Horace, I can't wait to hear more about what you've been learning around Carl Jung, and how synchronicities show up in our lives as our consciousness changes. The synchronicities become more. So friends, stay tuned. Yeah, and by the way, the last words I'll leave on that for this segment. Carl Jung said synchronicity is an acausal connecting principle. So we're going to come back in a minute and see how those dots connect. Unreasonably doesn't seem reasonable, but it is. So I didn't do this earlier. Horace, I want to give a little definition for everyone. Let's say, to define it simply, synchronicity is meaningful coincidence. So it's when your external events align with your internal state, your thoughts, your prayers, your readiness. And Carl Jung called it the acausal connecting principle, meaning without seeming cause, okay? It's not like a linear cause and effect type of outcome. But scripture knew this long before modern psychology named it, okay? And I'm going to share a couple of examples. In the Bible, we have a number of places where coincidences happened and signs happened. And I think a lot of us that are walking in synchronicity, walking the path where synchronicities are showing up, we see those synchronicities as signs, don't we? Signs of where we're at and that we're walking in alignment, okay? Some people call them God winks. But Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So that's synchronicity in action. When you align with divine guidance, your steps synchronize with divine order. And when that happens, that path tends to be punctuated with these little synchronistic events, okay? Those repeated numbers, that coincidental, I was just thinking of that person, I walked in the door and there they stood. Or Dr. Leslie was guided, hey, I feel like I'll call Horace and ask him on today. We get on the phone here on the air, I talk about Carl Jung and he goes, I've been looking at Carl Jung for the last 2 weeks. These are the synchronicities we're talking about. Tell us more, Horace.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we really pay attention, we realize it happens all the time, basically every day. There's been many times when I think about somebody and I call them, or I may not even get the opportunity to call them just yet, and they call me. And I think, wow, this is funny. I actually had my hand on the phone getting ready to call you. And so things like that happen all the time. Or somebody comes and visit, and I'm thinking, I was getting ready to come see you or call and see what you were doing, and here you are showing up. I mean, these things happen all the time if we pay attention to it.
Isn't that something?
And like you said, it is about alignment.
Yeah.
When we are aligned, and we don't have to put any theoretical concept to that. I mean, it's a practical, everyday thing, just paying attention to how God is communicating with us.
Right, right. Well, I believe that the higher we move in our vibrational output, okay, that as we evolve in consciousness, again, the story of faith, of consciousness evolution and the three eras taught through faith consciousness is we start at polarity consciousness, that lower level of awareness that we can all fall into at any given time, okay, where we feel kind of like victims, like life is happening to me, the dots don't connect, and everything is just linear cause and effect. So the best I can do is just try to figure out how to survive what life's throwing at me, okay, to that next level of Christ consciousness, where we begin to get in touch with there is a higher plan working out. We begin to feel softer and less rigidly judgmental about what's happening in life, which means we feel a little less victimized, okay? We feel like we're willing to harmonize more with what's happening, even though we don't understand it. We're trusting that something beyond us is working out and that God is walking us through it. And then as we move to that level of faith consciousness, we are aligning. We are aligning with the divine plan. We're moving into flow and harmonizing with how things are playing out. And this is where we get more and more of those signs and synchronicities happening that seem illogical, that seem bizarre, you know, random events that just seem like, wow, how could this coincidence happen? And then the next, and then the next. So this is, the more that's happening, the more it's reflective of us being in flow and in that state of grace where we're really merging with the divine plan and being carried by it. I believe that's where the miracles can take place. And it's, you know, The truth is that modern science shows us why, and there is a correlation between what's happening with our own inner state, our own vibrational output, and what type of reality is occurring in our lives as we journey as well.
Absolutely. And what you just said, I'm totally in agreement with, and I like to say in summarizing that, is that we either choose to live as a victim or a victor.
There.
It's our choice. And so we either live by design or by default. Mm. And again, that's our choice.
Absolutely. So tell us in your own life, Horace, what are you doing more and more to apply your wisdom and your awareness and even your learnings from Carl Jung to move into a life by design? What does that look like?
Well, and thank you for asking me that question, because one of the things I'm really big on, he talks a lot about that, as well as other wonderful wise teachers, saying that the first hour of the day is the most important. That's when we claim our power, because if we don't, and I'll mention in a second, you know, what exactly that means, but that first hour, he says, is where we decide to set the intention for ourselves that day, you know, and if we don't, then we automatically, by default, become the victim. You know, so when we set the time to establish what our intention is for that day, in whatever way that may be, for some people it's getting out, taking a walk. Some it's sitting down and being quiet, whether you want to refer to that as meditation or whatever, being silent and taking the time to tune in and listen. And that's where we have that alignment. And we've established what that is for us, for that given day. So that's what I believe. Taking the time every single day is about consistency. Mm. And doing that, not once a week, not twice a week, but every single day. There's a term that's being used a lot called neuroplasticity. And basically, the long and short of it is that whatever we put into our mind, over and over and over again, we're creating that groove that gets set in, and then it will become our default. But it's a positive default at that point, where we no longer have to think about it; we just do it.
Wow!
So as we do that, then that's how we evolve on this planet, and then it is from that doing and having that presence. And I like to use the term alchemy. You know, who is that? I'm going to think about it in a minute.
I'm going to stop alchemist. You for a second there, Horace. We're going to have to take another break real quick and then pick back up. By then you'll remember the name of that author of alchemy.
Yes.
I don't remember the name either right now, but that's beautiful. So, friends, we're going to take another break. Stay tuned. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about neuroplasticity and how you can use that power hour to step into the driver's seat of your day and your life. Stay tuned. Welcome back. It's Faith Consciousness Radio with Dr. Leslie and visiting wisdom mentor Horace Bush. We're talking about synchronicity and neuroplasticity. So I'm just going to interject something real quick. So listeners, neuroplasticity is really about how your mind is moldable, okay? How your brain can change. And Horace was talking about creating that pathway where if you think a thought and then you think it again and you think it again, it gets easier and easier to think that thought, which means we end up with a collection of habitual thoughts that become our status quo, okay? Our default thinking is those thought habits that have created these pathways that's called a neural pathway in the brain. And so if you're not doing anything to consciously be aware of what and how you're thinking, then those pathways that you've set up in the past, usually created by your subconscious, which means the conclusions you drew between being 6 months developing in the womb to 7 years old, okay, whatever wisdom or not you had at that age is when you drew a lot of conclusions, and that tends to run over 90% of your thoughts for the rest of your life unless you wake up to what's possible, intervene, and start utilizing your own current mind and will to create new neural pathways, replace those early childhood imprints, and create new patterns of thought that with practice, especially if you get up in the morning and have that reserved power hour that Horace Bush was just educating us about, and repeating Carl Jung as saying this is how to take charge of your day and your world, is using that first hour after you wake up to hold an intention and be intentional about those thought patterns. Repetition of intentional thoughts creates established neural pathways. Imagine it like a path through the forest where you've cut back all the brush and it's easy to walk without being obstructed, okay? That's what happens in your mind if you set up a strong neural pathway, and you can ultimately, with effort, get to the place where those neural pathways are your default. And you don't have to think about it anymore. It's just your new normal, and that's how you're thinking. But it takes effort and vigilance and consistency for a while. Believe us, friends, it's worth the effort. Wouldn't you say, Horace?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And that's what I was referring about a few minutes ago when I was getting mentioned about alchemy. If anybody have heard anything about alchemy, and historically it's referred to as turning base lead into gold. And, you know, on a spiritual level, we use that term a lot of times to mean our being evolving on our spiritual path, meaning from where we started, whatever identity we associated with, to our evolving spiritual identity. So that on a practical level, as we walk into any space we're in, people will notice that.
Mm.
People would notice just from not even doing anything or saying anything, just being there, being present. What that does is a process called entrainment, where we've seen this happen where people have done this with grandfather clocks, where they're ringing at different levels, but then eventually they start synchronizing and start ringing at the same level. Well, that happens with us as well as people. Our frequencies start being entrained with everyone else in the room. And it's usually going to entrain to the person that's at the highest frequency.
Yes, and the highest frequency wins. Uh-huh. Wow. Okay,
yep.
So there is your analogy of lead turning into gold, huh?
Yes.
Wow, because gold's a much higher frequency. So I love that you brought up entrainment. That is the term we use for actually the sessions that I conduct with network spinal energetics. Another example, listeners, entrainment. So if women are living or working in the same space, their menstrual cycles will entrain, and they will end up on the same feminine menstrual cycle every month, the same days. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Because one field, essentially our invisible bioelectric field, is communicating with the other, and they end up synchronizing together. Those grandfather clocks with the pendulum swinging, they will harmonize and begin to eventually swing in sync with each other. That's entrainment. And yes, yes, we use that same languaging in my work. So I got you there, Horace, and I totally agree with what you're talking about. Now, the book that I was thinking that you were going to bring up is called The Alchemist by Brazilian author Paulo Coelho, who was Portuguese, and this book was way back in 1988. But yeah, I just love that's even the journey of this kind of transmutation, kind of this being transformed into something much more, much higher frequency, much higher consciousness than you were before, and moving into that world of synchronicities and almost that magical miracle kind of flow where things that seem impossible start showing up. Just like alchemy seems impossible or like magic, but we're beginning with quantum mechanics to understand the science of how these things that seem miraculous are actually scientifically possible with our new understandings in science.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, Horace, I'd love to know more about how synchronicity has shown up in your world and what you've learned or any incidents in your life where you have felt guided by synchronicity. Do you ever feel like synchronicity is kind of the breadcrumbs, like, you know, that lead you down the right path?
Well, absolutely. And I'm going to say this, you know, before we end here, and that is synchronicity is always occurring. It's either occurring in ways that we don't want, or if we become conscious of it, it becomes more in alignment with what we do want, because every day we see things happening, because things are always happening. And if they're happening in ways we don't want, that's because we are in alignment with what we don't want. Because what you said earlier, our unconsciousness, our unconscious mind is what is guiding this whole thing. But as we awaken and become more conscious of that, then we can consciously choose how we want that to happen. So, yeah, and that's why I was mentioning earlier about taking the time each day to focus on how you want your day to unfold, because then we are making conscious choices at that time, and they're manifesting in that way. So that's what I'm looking at each and every day, setting my intention so that it unfolds that way. So usually during my silent time, I may be visualizing being at my appointments that I'm going to, and people are happy and smiling, and I'm smiling and we're sharing that. And it manifests that way because I chose that.
Right.
And so that's how consciously how that works. But when we don't do that, then again, it goes back to what I said about either living by design or by default. So then it occurs by default in the ways we don't want it to happen.
Gotcha. Oh, interesting. And so I like to call that moving from autopilot to manual. Okay. So that default is just like whatever's randomly happening, to being conscious and aware and setting things up as you intend. You've got the hands on the steering wheel. Horace, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom and your own personal experience with us. It's always a blessing to have you on.
Well, I enjoyed being here, Dr. Leslie, and look forward to some more opportunities.
Absolutely. So we will have you back. Blessings, brother. Have an awesome afternoon.
And you do the same. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So listeners, I want to remind you, right, that you're not waiting for synchronicity to happen to you. You're creating the conditions for it when you move into alignment and when you move into intentional prayer, as Horace was just describing, that power hour, the first hour of your day, and through releasing the outcome, releasing attachment, through trusting, moving from victim consciousness to author consciousness. That's how it gets there. Thank you for joining us today. I want to remind you, friends, as always, that you are never alone. You are loved. You are worthy. And all is well. See you next week. This is Dr. Leslie. Until then, walk sacred.